And let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue looking at our Savior's Sermon on the Mount. We look at Matthew chapter 7, kind of a continuation of what we, or rather very much a continuation of what we've been looking at over recent months even. But we're looking at continuing what we see in chapter 7 as we look at Jesus' rearranging of man's ideas of who we trust and how we live in this world. We so easily trust in human beings. And Jesus is very clear that we need to trust Him to build, as we read there, and know so well from the songs and stuff, to build our lives upon the rock that is Christ Jesus. So the whole of chapter 7, we'll be looking specifically starting at verse 15 through the end of the chapter. So let us read together God's Word. "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's Word, we see Jesus say a couple of things that people said is contradictory. In the beginning of the passage, Jesus says, "Do not judge." And we looked at that last Lord's Day. We're not called to be without judgment, but we're called not to use our own judgment and to be prejudiced against people. We're called to be very careful that we ourselves are not doing the very same things for which we judge other people, and to consider the plank that's in our own eye. But on the other hand, Jesus does say that we are to know, especially teachers, people who claim to teach us about God's Word, by their fruits. And Jesus specifically speaks to false prophets. Now, we don't spend a lot of time with the idea of prophets in the New Testament times. Those sorts of gifts have passed away. But we have to realize that there are those who claim to speak for God. And we have to be very careful that we check their lives. What are they doing? That's going to tell us much more than what comes out of their mouths. Jesus says, do you gather figs from thorn bushes grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. There's no mixture. And Jesus goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice again, the context is of people who are attempting, claiming to speak for God. People who say, I cast out demons in your name. I prophesied in your name. And Jesus says, there's going to be many of those people to whom he says at the judgment day, I never knew you. And so Jesus then, in verses 24 through 27, brings it home. Where do we build? What do? We base our lives not on what some human being, and not even what I say. The Bereans were complimented by Paul because they went back to the Word of God. That's why I want you, brothers and sisters, to be with us in reading through the Bible. I finished off last night going to the very end now. I have it all laid out through the end of the Bible. I'm looking forward to it. But I very much commend to you, read that Bible. Don't trust me even. Especially don't trust me, no. But look to the Word of God. Is what someone is saying, claiming to speak for God, what the Bible says? But above that, Jesus says, what do their lives look like? What are they doing? If someone is claiming to speak for God and lives in a rotten manner, then we better not listen to them. We better not build our house founded on that. Found our houses, found our lives on the rock. What does Jesus says? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Jesus elsewhere says, if you hear but don't do, it's no good. You will know them. You will know false prophets by their fruits. Beware. Beware. We have to be so careful. There are people telling us this is what's important. That's what's important. There's people within the church that are taking in things from the world. In fact, let's get rid of that Bible thing. That's not important. We need what man says. We need the Word of God, not what man says, not what some human being came up with. They come in sheep's clothing. Now notice an interesting aspect of that. They don't always claim, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher. They come looking like one of the sheep. That was an interesting thing, especially I ran into in seminary. But it's all over the place. Where there are people who are among the students, who are among the taught, we're saying, I don't like that. We need to go over here. One of them now, that I just threw out my hackles every time I dealt with this guy, particularly in seminary. He ended up going back to the Roman Catholic Church. We have to realize that there are those not only will stand up here and tell us falsehoods. There are many of those, sadly. God tells us that there's a hotter place in hell for people who do that, by the way. But we also need to beware of those who are trying to act like sheep. You will know them, Jesus says, by their fruits. Jesus just said, go by the narrow gate. Don't go by the wide gate, the easy gate. You will know them by their fruits. Don't follow the easy way. Jesus says later on, Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Praise the Lord, it's not possible. But we need to be aware of the fact that there are those who teach falsehoods. Now notice there's a difference between looking around at others in the congregation and looking at someone who's claiming to teach, to speak for God. Do their lives break God's commandments? That's the standard. Not what we come up with, the things that we think, that's important for what a pastor does. What does God say? And by the way, this is the standard for our own lives as well. To live in thanksgiving to God for the salvation that He has given to us according to God's commandments. Yet we must understand that God saves us in spite of our best works, not because of them. You will know false prophets by their fruits. You will know, do men gather figs from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I keep getting that mixed up, I'm sorry. Grapes from thorn bushes and figs from thistles. If someone is claiming to be speaking for God, but their life produces bad fruit, don't listen. Jesus says, a good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Where are those going who live according to sinful ways going? Hell, eternal punishment of body and soul. So Jesus concludes, and He says this a number of times. That's why I've said it a number of times. By their fruits you will know them. What are they living like? And sometimes it doesn't come up until later on. It was just sadly a pastor, quote unquote, who passed away. And people started coming out. And the allegations seemed to be true. That this guy was a real problem. But we need to be looking at lives. What do these people that claim that they're speaking for God, what do they live like? What do they do? And saying, Lord, Lord, or doing wonders does not indicate God's approval. Remember that there were people at this time who could do lying wonders. Think of, I believe his name was Simon, who wanted to buy the ability that the apostles had to give the Holy Spirit to people. He was a miracle worker and thought to be important and powerful. There are people who can do lying wonders. And we have to be careful. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Sadly, there are a lot of people who make a show of worshiping, but don't really believe and are really wolves in sheep's clothing. Many will say, Lord, have we not done wonders in your name? Matthew 24:24, we already read that just a moment ago. False Christs, false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. There are those who are going to even build big churches. Seems like a great thing. But it's about the person. Now, I know some of you struggle with my manners, that when I'm complimented about a sermon, I say, praise the Lord. It's because it's not about me. It's about our Savior, our awesome God. And I don't want to get in the way. And I easily want to, as a sinful human being, and that's why I try to do that. Because I'm a sinful human being just as much as any other. And so we have to be careful. They're falling away. Their sinfulness of these false prophets causes more people to question their own faith than they have cause to believe while they're on this earth. And God will declare, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Verse 23. If their lives do not measure up, they are not leading you in the right direction. And so what are we to build our lives on? That's what Jesus says here, isn't it? Build your life on obedience to Jesus. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like one who built his house on a rock. Instead of spending our time pointing out and judging other people, look at ourselves. I need to look at myself. Am I obedient to God's commands? Whoever hears these things, we need to hear them and praise the Lord that we, many of us, have grown up with these. But as one of my professors at seminary liked to say, you can miss heaven by 10 inches. I heard it. I knew it. But I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it was for me. We need to hear, we need to have these truths sink deep within us. Whoever hears these sayings, and then we need to do them. We are not as Christians to live the way the world lives. The Apostle James says, "Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works." Faith without works is dead. Not that we're saved based on how good our works are. But true faith is working faith. It's going to cause us to live differently than the world around us. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew. God doesn't promise us easy street. Just believe in Jesus, you're going to have a great life. All your problems are going to go away. They tell you this stuff, don't they? Not what Jesus says. Jesus says it may be harder. They're going to persecute you. Being a Christian isn't an easy gig. The rains, the winds. But the foundation is what's important. Don't build based on charlatans. Build based on the words of God. And insofar as I teach what the Word of God is, you got to listen. Because it's not my authority then, it's God's authority. If I go off on something else, I have no authority. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds came. The foundation is what's important. 1 Corinthians 3:11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. The rock is Christ. When I was going to seminary, I drove half an hour each way back and forth, praise the Lord, the opposite direction that the major traffic was. But I drove over top of a quarry, middle of the highway, what is it, 94, I think, down there at that point, but I can't tell you for certain. If you're going through South Side Chicago, you drive over the middle of this quarry, and it goes down into the rock. It's deep. And one of my professors at seminary said, that's what that means. Dig down for the rock. Well, what do you mean? Don't just go for the easy, well, we got a nice little foundation here. Dig down to put your house on the rock. That might mean you got to take some time cleaning out the mess. Because we so easily want it the easy way. I just want to put Jesus on top of my life, the shifting sands, the problem. I want to make life easier. Jesus promises that's what it's going to be. It's not what the Bible says. Dig down, clean off the mess. Clean up, dig out, put our faith and our life on that solid foundation. The world squishes around, but the gospel does not change. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Don't believe and God promises eternal judgment. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is one like one who built his house on the sand. My parents had their winter house down in Florida. Everybody likes their house right on the edge of the ocean, right? They've got these condos that go up for miles because everybody wants to look at the ocean. But how often are those things blown down, messed up as soon as there's a hurricane? Because they're built on sand. And brothers and sisters, the world shifts and moves around and flows. If you've ever built anything, if you don't put a decent foundation underneath it, what happens? Quick, it falls over. The gospel changes us. It changes our desires. It changes our hope. Whoever does not do these things is like the one who built on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, often the unbeliever doesn't seem to have as many of these trials as we have as Christians. Remember that God promises, James chapter 1, to prepare us for heaven, making us perfect and complete. But what comes against the unbeliever is enough, Jesus says, to make him fall. And great was its fall. Ezekiel 13, 11, or 10 and 11, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar to say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be a flooding rain and you, O great hailstones, shall fall and a stormy wind shall tear it down. When people try to put Jesus on top of the things of this world and the shifting sands of this world, there's nothing there. There's no foundation. We need to dig down. We need to prepare and place our life solidly on that rock. And so, the people marveled. And honestly, as we consider this last little bit, it really is the entract of the next verses, the beginning. That we have the reaction. And so it was, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is the reaction, and then we're going to look at Jesus doing miracles in the following chapters. And the reaction of the people to Jesus' teaching. Jesus taught as one having authority. The people were astonished. Jesus wrote the Bible, not as human teachers who read it and try to understand it. He knows it perfectly. The best human interpreter can only read and interpret. We take classes in seminary to understand these things. And some human interpreters do very well. But when you look for the meaning of a document, you look to the author and not someone who interprets it, if you have them available. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us to that end, to understand. But Jesus taught as one having authority. And we need to base our lives not on man's ideas, not on trying to get everybody to be as good as we think they should be. But base our lives on that rock. Not only listening to Christ, reading His Word, but as well living His Word. As Jesus says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. There are going to be charlatans out there. There are going to be those who claim, I speak for Jesus. Even those who go around in sheep's clothing, trying to make us think they're just one of us. And Jesus promises that those sorts of people will receive the judgment. But we need to found ourselves not on what some human being says, but on the Word of God. And if by God's grace, I believe we do, we have the Word of God preached for us week by week here, insofar as what I say agrees with Scripture, you do not have the Word of man, you have the Word of God. And so we need to react to it as such and be obedient. But if I'm not teaching what Scripture is, and especially if you can see that by my life, then we need to find someone else who teaches the Word truly. And so, brothers and sisters, yes, there is the aspect whereby we say, don't judge. What does that mean? That we are not prejudging people. Rather, we're going out with the gospel to a world that needs it. It's not always going to be safe. It's not always going to be easy. But we need to bring the truth of the narrow way which leads to eternal life to a world that is so in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we pray, Lord, that we would not only be hearers, but doers of the Word. That we would live in obedience to You. We would live in service to You. We pray, O Lord, for pastors, for myself, for other pastors of our denominations, for those who claim to speak for You. We pray that truth would be spoken and not falsehood, not man's ideas. We pray, Lord, that we would be ready looking at the fruits of their lives. We pray, O Lord, that we would build based on the rock that is Christ Jesus. And that we would live based on that. And that we would show by our lives our thankfulness to the awesome Savior who gave His life in our place. For we pray this in His name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.